Would you join me as we pray together? Dear Lord, after hearing that song, I just pray that myself included, that we would call. I don't call enough. I rely on myself. I rely on gifts or relationships or whatever it is, and I think I speak for many. We don't call and cry out to you. I pray that we would know to the very fullest of our hearts and our minds that you will answer. You'll meet us where we are. You'll rescue us. You'll literally save us. And when we know that, we'll want to raise you up. That through our lives, you would be lifted high. So that is my prayer for us, for this church we've named Bellwether, and to do that, to first call. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple things that I just noticed and wanted to shout out that, I don't know, were pretty interesting about our church. The first one is that that song, you know, Bellwether, we want it to be a place of constant worship. And when I say worship, what I mean is that, you know, we encourage you to call out. In that prayer I just said, I mean, it hit me. Like, I don't call out enough. And worship can lead us to call out, and that he would rescue us and change us, that our life and our lives, corporately and individually, can lift up Jesus. That's my prayer. So there's worship. Also, something else about Bellwether, and this is on a different note, but I'm going out there right before that song, and I'm going to get some water, take care of some business. And I see some men out there, God love them, some of them sitting out there, and they're chatting and getting coffee, and I just have a flashback to the church that I was raised in up in North Mississippi, you know, going out maybe outside the service and seeing some men outside smoking. And now they weren't smoking, you know, but back home they were. I don't know, they might have lit up today. But I say that too because, like, we want to be a church of worship, and then we also want to be a place, I want that to happen. I mean, I want people to, and these are leaders too, some setup leaders. And some men who I've seen really grow in their spiritual life, that they feel so at home, and we want you to feel at home here. So there's worship, there's the fellowship, and then something else we're going to get into, that there is learning, there is teaching, there is learning about the gospel and letting that transform you. And so the third part is what I'm about to go into, in that I'm taking on a question. And all through the summer, we're asking y'all to give us any questions about God, about the Bible. Well, not anything. I did say I'm not going to hit on, like, end times, you know, Left Behind, that, because I've talked about that enough. But anything, like, you're dealing with personally or psychologically or sin or salvation, anything like that, write it down on a either on our bulletin, or we got some cards out there and a red basket. And we're calling all summer, we're saying red letter days, because really Sunday should be a red letter days. Actually, the phrase red letter days came from the church calendar year for Sundays. And we're just going to grapple with some tough questions. Some, they may be big, they may be specific. So anything you're going on, we'll take questions throughout the summer. And if we don't hit them this summer, we'll hit them throughout the year. That just kind of hit me. One place of worship, of fellowship, and learning. And grappling. Yeah, y'all know me, I love wrestling with a tough question. So today, just getting into it, is a it's really a big question, broad question. It is, if I pray more and if I obey more, so obey God, will I be blessed more? So, like, blessings. And I'm actually talking about prayer next week, because we've gotten a ton of questions. Just, you know, how do I pray? Is prayer just, you know, eyes closed, knees bowed, or how do I grow my prayer life? So I'm going to focus more on obedience. But generally the question is, if I do good, you know, if I do right, if I pray and I obey, God more? Will I see that, like, practically, tangibly, maybe financially? Will I get rewards? Will I be blessed? So, I'm going to hit that question. Try to do so in one sermon, although you could probably do a series on that. First off, that question presumes that something I think is very, very true. And the truth is that we all want to be blessed, okay? I mean, we want to have a blessed life. We want blessing. We want to lead a blessed life. Now, what does that look like? Now, from doing ministry in Jackson for nearly 10 years, I've seen a lot of what that looks like. The blessed life, it can be about money, although it may not be like, you know, just, you know, gobs and gobs of money. But let's say, hey, Lord, I don't want like to get rich, but I just want, you know, enough to do everything I want. You know, it can be something like that. It could be status. It could be, you know, having maybe the right friends or being in the right supper club or being in the right social circles or maybe just have a supper club or, you know, or maybe just, you know, have some status. It can be about power, like having authority and responsibility for our life. And then also blessing changes, being blessed changes as we go through life. You know, when we're single, you know, our blessings look different than when we're married. You know, when I was single, man, I mean, I wanted to be the blessed life for me. I wanted to be Derek Jeter. There's no way, and you know where, I'm going to be Derek Jeter. But, like, I wanted to play softball like Derek Jeter, and I wanted to date Miss Universe, which he did at one time. And, like, you know, I just want to be the man. And a lot of you dudes, if y'all are out there and you're, I mean, you just want to be the man. And maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's Eli Manning. Maybe it's, you know, whomever your guy is. But you're single and you're a dude, you just want to be the man. And you'll walk into maybe a bar and, like, you know, everybody knows your name. And most of those people are women. And they, you know, I mean, it's just being honest here. Right? Don't y'all want that, dudes, when you're single? Yes. All right, now it changes a little bit, okay? Because then you, like, you get a job. And you're trying to live, like I said, you're trying to live like a $30,000 millionaire. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I actually lived like a $12,000 millionaire back in my day. But you're trying to hit that and, you know, go around. And but then you want, hey, I want to get a good job. Because the job you probably have is, you know, pushing paper or doing something and monotonous. And I want fulfillment in my job. And that's blessing. And maybe you get that, or maybe you get a taste of that, or maybe you don't. And then let's say you find, you know, the guy or the girl of your dreams. Or maybe that's your blessing, that you want a good guy or a good girl or, you know, princess, beautiful prince, you know, whatever that is. And then your blessing is the perfect marriage and then perfect kids, you know, that are adorable and good looking and are going to grow up to be Derek Jeter or Eli Manning or whomever that is and get into Harvard maybe and be a Rhodes Scholar and all that. You know, that's blessing. And oh, by the way, we got this wonderful, loving, beautiful marriage, and this job and career that's so fulfilling, and this house, and we live in the perfect place. You know what I'm saying? Fantasy. It's a fantasy. I mean, like, parts of that may be true. Parts of that are true for some people. But together, the whole package, it's just not reality. And actually, specifically, it's not reality. Perfect marriage, not reality. Perfect kids, not reality. Perfect career that's fulfilling you day after day, week after week, it's not reality. Why? Well, I mean, just generally, I mean, this little thing called sin is in the world, and it has messed up everything and will continue to try to mess up everything. Whether you call it sin or the devil using sin, you know, all of that. And so we want this ideal. We want this blessing. And yet we will never fully get it here. Why is that? That's interesting. I really think, without getting to Scripture yet, I really believe that God has instilled that in our hearts, this desire for blessing, this desire for just full contentment, full peace, this desire for full acceptance, for love. So whatever we call blessing, beauty, acceptance, contentment, fulfillment, peace, all wrapped in this wonderful package and we tie it with a bow, God has put that in our hearts. each and every one of our hearts. He's put it in my heart. And the trap is that we seek everything in the world to give us that. And it ends up leaving us flat. And it ends up disappointing us. And actually, it sometimes ends up breaking relationships that should be godly and holy and loving and given to us by God, like marriage, or like a relationship with a son or daughter, or like a work relationship that can be fruitful and fulfilling. And sin can mess it up. But we want blessing. And here's the deal. And I could just end the sermon now and say, go home or have lunch. And you may say, please do. But we're going to have a little bit more in here. And the blessing found is in Jesus Christ. And God put this into our heart. And then he sent Jesus. And it's almost like he's begging us. Just like, look, turn to Jesus. He has already given you the greatest blessings you can ever fathom. Ephesians 1:3 said, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. Period. And we don't get it. Look, I'm the first one that may not get it. He has already blessed us. And what I want, my prayer for me, for us, for our church, for people who call themselves Christian, is to say, man, I get it. Jesus is the blessing. He's blessed me. And he blesses us, as Chris sang about, to be a blessing, that our lives would lift him high. He's the blessing. He's blessed us. He's blessed us to be a blessing. Like I said, that could be it. Go home. Have a great day. But we need to hit some scripture, and I want y'all to see that. And the reason is because we don't get that. We don't get it. We don't live it. Yes, there's this little thing called sin, but sin interweaves in our lives and messes it up in a couple ways. Way number one is we obey. Go back to the original question. If I pray and obey more, am I blessed more? We obey to get blessing, whatever that blessing might look like that I talked about otherwise. And so we think, to get a blessing, I got to obey. To get gain, I got to obey. To get whatever it is, I've got to obey. So that's jacked up way number one. And number two is we obey to get saved, even worse. Some of y'all say, I never do that. Man, we do that all the time. We obey to get our salvation. We obey to get saved. And the trap can be is like we can be mired in guilt or mired in whatever sin you want and say, well, I gotta do this. I got to obey so I can be saved. So I can even get heaven. And we don't live, but the blessing's already happened in Jesus. The blessing's already been given in Jesus. And we are blessed to be a blessing. That's it. And you really fall into two categories. It's the kingdom of earth and the kingdom of heaven. Did you know, and I just heard this week, but it made sense. Jesus never said, do a iPhone search or anything. He never said, accept me as your personal Lord and Savior. What Jesus would always say over and over again, a lot of times when he started parables, a lot of times when he started messages, speaking to me, he would say, repent and enter the kingdom of heaven. Repent and enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus was talking about these two kingdoms. And he was coming to this world to establish a new kingdom. And if you think about, well, what's the kingdom look like? You know, I mean, we say in our mission statement, raise the kingdom. Well, how do you do that? Jesus said, enter into the kingdom. Well, how do you do that? Well, he did say, repent and enter into the kingdom. So it has something to do with repent. But what's a kingdom? Well, think about when, I don't know if someplace in the world today you have kings, but you definitely have political leaders. Not going there locally right now. But when you have a new political leader that's voted in, you have a new administration. So it's a new set of priorities. It's a new set of policies. Even a new set of procedures or ways of doing things. Bringing in a new kingdom is a new administration. That's what Jesus has done. He's bringing in a new way of living, a new way of looking at the world, a new way of living and leading your life. And that's what he means, repent and enter the kingdom. But yet so many of us, so many of us are stuck and embroiled in the kingdom of earth, and we hear about the kingdom of heaven, and even we go to church, and maybe we go to group or a Sunday school or whatever, we hear this kingdom of heaven, but we are really living in the kingdom of earth because we want to be blessed, so we obey to get blessing, and we obey to get saved, and we don't realize we've already been blessed, and we can lead our lives to be a blessing. You just generally flesh it out, salvation, that's it. So, but how does it look? Let's look in Scripture. First thing I said, we obey to get blessed. We obey to have blessings, whatever that looks like. And you can turn your Bibles to Matthew 20, and actually write this down, Matthew 20, Matthew 19, Matthew 5, because I'm going to do broad strokes. This is a big question, so we're not going to really like go into the verses. I'm going to read three passages today, and you know, if you don't get it all, write it down, read it later. Matthew 20, Matthew 19, and Matthew 5. That's where we're going to be hitting. Matthew 20, Jesus says this parable, and he says, start with verse 1. Matthew chapter 20, I'm going to read this parable. He says, for the kingdom of heaven, remember that? Kingdom of heaven is like, this is what the kingdom's like, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. When he went out about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. About 5, he went and found others standing around. He said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. What did Jesus say? He said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. What happens here? You have people who are doing, obeying, working for blessing. And they start early in the day. And they say, man, I'm going to work and I'm going to do and I'm going to obey. And I'm going to follow the landowner. And so at the end of the day, I'm going to get more. And then somebody comes and, you know, starts working, starts swinging the axe or swinging the hammer at 5 p.m., And they get the same. They get the same blessing. Jesus says, welcome to the kingdom of heaven. And I say that because if you're living your life obeying to get your blessing, you will always be disappointed. You'll always be disappointed. You know why? Well, first, in this world, in the earth, I mean, life is unfair. And there's going to be somebody that's coming in and getting their share without obeying, without doing what you've done. Or maybe they get more than you. You know what this is like. You know, I mean, the people who, you know, well, first, you know, they may have been born on third base and thought they hit a triple, and you've been working and obeying, and you make it a second, you know, and that's it. Or there's people that, you know, it's just, they don't do anything. You know, they don't obey God. They don't go to church. They don't do a group. They don't serve. They don't do anything. And maybe they are blessed in some way that you want to be blessed. I don't know, money or supper club or status. And we get bitter. Man, I have seen bitterness just like been used and consumed by people. And it's just, they live in bitterness. Because they think, I deserve this. You know what the gospel says? We deserve hell. Not to be, you know, all feeling good there, but we get heaven because of Jesus. So if you live your life, seriously, if you live your life obeying and doing and working to get the blessing, at some point or every point of your life, you're just going to be disappointed. The second thing, the second trap we fall into is that it's even worse, that we obey to get saved. We're like, you know, I'm going to save myself. I mean, so much of, if you go into Place I Love, Barnes & Noble's, I also love Lemuria more, but Barnes & Noble's gives better deals. So anyway, but if you go to any bookstore, there are like rows and rows and rows of really bad self-help books that, you know, talk about, you know, you can do it. You can change your life. You can do this. You can save yourself. Save yourself, which the Bible would disagree with, and the gospel would say that that's wrong. But we have bought into the lie, and when we have culture inundating us with that, you say, man, I can save myself. And so if I obey more, I'll get the blessing of salvation. Eternal life, abundant life, as Jesus said, and that's not true either. So look at Matthew 19. I said another passage, Matthew 19. This is the rich young man. This is a man who already has a lot of the blessings that we want, but he is seeking salvation, and he's trying to obey to get it. And so look what Jesus says to him. Matthew 19, verse 16. It says, someone came to him and said, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? He said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother also. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, I have kept all these. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly, I say to you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. There it is again, kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. There it is again, different kingdom, kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, then who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it is possible, but for God all things are possible. Get this. First, this is a man who was tremendously blessed. The writers actually think he was young. He was like he was like Derek Jeter, Eli Manning. I mean, he had the money, he had the looks, he had everything. He was blessed the way we define blessing. A lot of money. And then he's doing the right things. I mean, he asked Jesus, what will give me salvation? What will give me eternal life? So Jesus throws out, I mean, Jesus knows. He's Jesus. He's God. He's throwing out these things that he's done. He's like, yeah, I've done that. I don't steal. I don't even like subtly steal in my business dealings, he would say. I definitely don't murder. Don't commit adultery. I'm following the commands. I'm doing it. And the man's like, you know, I believe, wanting Jesus to say, man, you're good. You're golden. And I think he was agging for a compliment. And then Jesus knows his heart. Knows where his weak point is. Says, all right, sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Follow me. Be my disciple. And he can't. He can't do that. He can do everything else. He's been given everything else. And he can't. Look, a lot of folks think that this is all about money and, you know, used for tithing sermons or stewardship sermons, and that's not what it's about. I believe that was this dude's weak spot. Whatever is holding you back from following Jesus, I mean, I do believe you should give. Let me say that. And I do believe you should tithe, and, you know, I do believe, look, I do believe God calls some people to give all they have and do it. You're like, that's not my call. I got that, you know. But he does for some folks. But the main thing, Jesus, follow me. Follow Jesus. And then the disciples are like, well, how is this possible? And he ends, and Jesus says, for us, it's impossible. God makes things possible. And I believe that verse is actually foreshadowing his death and resurrection. Because Jesus knows, yes, for us it is impossible. There's nothing we can do. We can't save ourselves. Jesus said, it's impossible. God can. God has done it in Jesus. So if we are trying, and I see this all the time, people deny it and they say, I really don't do this, but they obey and they follow those commands and they do good because they think it's going to get their salvation, and it will not. And at some point, it may be today, it may be tomorrow, maybe this week, God's going to convict you and give you your hard deal and say, do this and follow me, and we won't be able to. And we have to rely on Jesus. So the last thing I would say is, okay, well, so I can't obey and get saved, and I can't obey and get, like, the blessings I want. So, like, how do we get the blessing? How do we realize that we are blessed to be a blessing? How does that happen? And this is where we hit Matthew 5. And so I'm going to read a couple more verses, Matthew 5. This is known as the Beatitudes. It's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And a lot of times it's thought of as like ways people should live. But really, these verses, really the first 10 verses, are salvation. It's how to be saved. It's how to know the blessing we have in Jesus and how to then be a blessing. So I'm just going to read it. Actually, start with verse 3. Jesus says, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are the poor. Blessed. We want a blessing. Jesus says, blessed are the poor. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Here's the answer to this question. If I pray more and if I obey more, will I be blessed more? The answer to the question is really simplified, no and yes. No in the blessings that we may think about in our mind. Yes, we've already been blessed beyond comparison, anything that we can fathom in Jesus. And this shows this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We have to realize that we're poor in spirit. We've got this problem, this spiritual problem that we can't overcome. Blessed are those who mourn. And it's really bad. Like we should be weeping over what's in our hearts. Blessed are the meek. We should realize we can't save ourselves, but there's someone who can. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Every blessing we want, we will inherit. We say, I got a problem. I can't do anything about it. It's really bad. And I'm humble enough to say, I can't do it myself. Jesus can. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. None of us, I think, have ever experienced like true hunger, true thirst. I've seen people who have, and it is a sad thing. It is a broken thing to go to bed literally hungry, literally starving, thirsty. Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? I'm not talking about right living here. Jesus is really saying the righteousness found in him, what he has done, that saves us. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit. We got a problem. Blessed are those who mourn. It's really bad. Blessed are those that are meek. Someone can save me. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, Jesus' righteousness. And we realize, man, the blessing is found in him. And then we can be a blessing. And that's where it changes. It says, blessed are the merciful. We're changed. We're merciful. We give mercy to people who don't deserve it. Blessed are the pure in heart. Our heart is focused. Our heart is not duplicitous. Our heart is pure. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who seek and strive for peace in all situations, in a sinful, broken world. We are changed. We're blessed to be a blessing. Man, I love those verses should be memorized, should be seared in our minds. It is salvation. It is who we are, what Jesus has done, who we can become. Man, I just say this real quick, closing up. I know it because I have it myself, okay? But also I know it in talking to people and living with people in this community, the blessings that we long for, the blessings that we seek, And it can go, you know, this great fulfillment in a job, this perfect, you know, spouse, perfect kids, perfect setting, perfection. And it doesn't exist. And we strive for it over and over again. I strive for it too. And it's the sin in us. And we should mourn about it, that we keep going. And that's why there's a saying that says, no matter how new you are in Jesus, you're never new enough. That's why Jesus said, repent and enter the kingdom of God. That it starts with repenting. He says, God, there's nothing I can do, but you've done it all. You have blessed us. Ephesians 1:3. God has blessed each of us, each of you, with every, is in that verse, every spiritual blessings in the heavens through Jesus Christ. And so when we realize that we can't get these blessings by obeying, we can't get salvation by obeying or doing or working, but it's already been done for us in Jesus. We can live with mercy, we can live pure in heart, we can be peacemakers, and we can be a blessing. Last thing I'd say, well, two things. C.S. Lewis said, if you aim for heaven, you'll get earth thrown in. If you aim for earth, you'll get neither. Many of us live our lives aiming for earth. I don't want you to end up getting neither. Aim for heaven. If half of our congregation could be focused on that, could live what we see in these verses of Matthew 5, we would change this city. If a third committed to doing that and say, I'm going to repent, I'm going to enter the kingdom of God, I'm going to realize the blessing in Christ, and these other blessings can't do a flip, we'd change this city. Or even going to the Sodom and Gomorrah, if 10 people here, 10 people in Bellwether, said, this is how I want my life to be, this city would be changed. Aim for heaven. The blessing is found in Jesus. By him will be a blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for 10. I pray for 10 that would say, man, I'm going to repent starting today. I want to live in the kingdom of heaven. I have been living in the kingdom of earth. I have been living in the kingdom of earth. And it takes a church, and it takes people, and it takes accountability, and it takes a preacher, and it takes leaders to say, look at the kingdom of heaven. Repent. The blessing is in Jesus. You can be a blessing. You can have heaven and earth if we aim for heaven. Maybe do that, Jesus. Thank you that you are our blessing. In your name, amen.